Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Fred Haines as my special expert guest. Fred Haines brings 35-plus years of experience in science, physical education, sports and fitness, martial arts, and publishing. He is the founder and president of Contact Canada, a family-owned company specializing in information tools on the life science industries in Canada. Fred has published 29 academic papers and abstracts on the endocrine regulation of fat and carbohydrate metabolism in exercising males and females and in diabetes. He was the recipient of a Commonwealth scholarship from the United Kingdom for doctoral studies in Canada and has 12 years of teaching experience at university, college, and high school levels in human physiology, biology, physical education, and sports. Since 1987, Fred has consulted on the nutraceutical, pharmaceutical, and medical device industries in Japan, Europe, the USA, and Canada. In the world of sport, Fred is an accomplished athlete with experience in a variety of team and individual sports. In the martial arts, he commenced Aikido in the UK with further study in Canada and the US before moving to Japan in 1986 as a direct full-time student of Gozo Shioda Sensei, founder of the Yoshinkan style. In 1989, he received top award for Yoshinkan Aikido demonstration in Japan, the first by a non-Japanese. Now a professional six-degree instructor, Fred is a regular guest instructor at Aikido seminars across the USA and Canada. Fred has a lifelong commitment to the pursuit of health and well-being through physical activity, good nutrition, and ethical behavior. Hello, Fred. Welcome to SNU.
Hi, Corey. Thank you very much for this invitation. I'm a great fan of SNU, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I look forward to the interview.
It's our pleasure to have you as our guest, and I look forward to the information that we're going to learn. Let's start by talking about your involvement with Contact Canada. For those of you out there in SNU land, let's learn from Fred about Contact Canada. What's it all about, Fred, and how and why did you get started?
Excellent. Well, some of the community out there may know us already because we published the Natural Health Products Industry Guide, which is a repertoire or directory of all the companies providing natural health products for retailers and others to access. And we started Contact Canada as a sort of a blend of our backgrounds and to fill an industry needs. My background was in education, assisting people to understand more about things. That was one side of it. And then when I came out of Japan in the late 80s, we realized that there was a gap of information that was readily available to consumers and to businesses about the life science industries in Canada. And then what we do, we're known as first-hand information collectors. That is, we collect all the information ourselves, we send it to the companies to verify, they send back their replies and changes, and then we collate that into a handy reference that we publish once a year. And we started off doing this in an area of medical devices, clinical diagnostics actually, because that spoke to my academic background in my research in the diabetes area. And then we went on from there and stayed pretty much in the biological sciences because that's where my background is as a teacher and as a someone who loves the science of biology. And the aim was to create a fleet of vehicles in areas where there was an absence of information so that people who wanted to know companies where they could obtain medical devices or therapeutics and pharmaceuticals or natural health products, they could turn to our industry guides and within a few moments come up with a list of companies that would be able to provide them with that information.
What are your thoughts about future trends or any changes coming up for the future in the industry of health and fitness?
Well, I think, first of all, the SNU is a witness to this, there is an explosion in the need for accurate information. And when I talk accurate, I mean scientifically based information on how nutrition and fitness can be integrated for an improved lifestyle. So I think on one side, we see increasing demands for information, both from the consumers and also from the regulatory bodies. So that I think the role that information has to play is just going to get bigger and bigger and more important.
Now, Fred, you're originally from the UK, and you have a background in teaching. Tell us how you ended up in Canada, and what do you think represents some differences in the lifestyle that you had versus where you are now in Victoria?
In coming to Canada, it was very interesting. I always saw that I was going to stay in the UK, and my trip to Canada was going to be a short one. And I came over here to do my master's at the University of Guelph in human kinetics. But having come to Canada, it's a vast, huge country, and there's this sense of opportunity here. There's this sense that if you have some good ideas, you can get on with them and be more entrepreneurial. Whereas in the UK, which is a wonderful country, and my family are still there, things are perhaps not quite so entrepreneurial. They're a little bit more traditional. Very rich still, but I felt that it was better for me to end up pursuing a career in Canada. Certainly, economically in Canada, there is a greater amount of disposable income at the end of the salary packet. There's less taxation here. This means that people have more money in their pocket. So in things like sports nutrition and health, they're able to put their pocket coins to use in purchasing products that they feel would be of benefit for them in their health. And I think in the UK, there is not this same level of disposable income. So I think that's going to affect how the industry rolls out in both countries.
Now, you're heavily involved in the martial arts, both from a competitive athletic point of view, and you teach. And maybe you can tell us about the martial art that you practice, Aikido. I know I have an interest in it, and how it might differ from the more stereotypical kinds of Kung Fu or, say, Taekwondo.
Yes. Aikido is a Japanese martial art. It was formulated by Morihei Ueshiba, who was trained in a variety of arts. Aikido Jiu-Jitsu was one of them, but also sword work and jo work. And the aim of Aikido is to overcome oneself. That is, he tried to turn the killing arts of the samurai, which were to kill an opponent, to try to overcome issues in oneself of anger, aggression, lack of cooperation. And typically an Aikido class is featured by two partners training together. Each person would do the technique on each other, but the person receiving the technique has to surrender. That is, receive the technique, not to fight it or combat it. In Taekwondo, when you spar, both partners, even in drilling, are trying to beat each other. So no one actually allows the other to be the dominant player, and no one wants to be the submissive player. In Aikido, there's a changing of that relationship. So that when you do the technique, you're in charge, you're the dominant, and you are what we call shite. In Aikido, we call shite. As uke, who receives the technique, you have to surrender your body. You have to surrender your spirit. And this means you have to start to trust your partner. And through this exchange, this yin-yang of exchange of trust and surrender with dominant energies, there's a sort of an enhancement of the human spirit, such that you can address issues at work where sometimes you have to give up a position to get progress on a project, or at home, instead of arguing incessantly to try to see the other person's point of view. And Aikido, the translation of Aikido, means harmony, the way of practicing harmony. Now, in Kung Fu and Taekwondo, these are great arts, but they tend to be more physically competitive versus this idea of making harmony.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but stress is coming at us, and based on the principle of Aikido, I'm supposed to, rather than stand up against this stress, be it mental, emotional, physical, and try and take it on, which ultimately might just crash down upon me and flatten me out, I'm supposed to work with this energy, maybe step aside, or if a wave in surfing is coming at me and I don't want to take the wave, I go underneath it instead of trying to stand up against it because it'll crush me.
That's right. So in Aikido, what we want to do when we're dealing with a strong energy is not to stop it with our own physical force, but to redirect it, to try to ride the power of the energy and redirect it into a direction where it's either harmless or controlled.
Which in life is transferred over into personal relationships and
personal
situations in business.
Personal relationships and also acceptance of inevitable energies, for example, aging. For example, the need to take action, not to prevent something happening, but to redirect it into a more benign destinations.
So it's a very intelligent and logical way of thinking.
It is. It is. And also, at the end of the day, you are not a loser by... It teaches you that you are not losing by agreeing to go with the flow of another opinion or the flow of another energy.
Now, you talked about overcoming oneself, that struggle that's going on within each one of us. Is that one of the great disciplines and what happens through the character-building process of your martial art?
Yes, it would be. By being aware of one's own energies and controlling them, one can become more sensitive. And by becoming more sensitive, you become more responsive to what's going on around you. And perhaps some people seem insensitive, perhaps because they're unaware of their own internal energies. So with the practice of Aikido, one would expect the students to become more aware or more sensitive to those around them and the environment around them on one side, but also their own inner energies, their own inner demons, if you like.
Now, you talked about in the bio about taking this up in the UK and then further studies here in Canada. Why did you go to Japan? Is that because that's where the Mecca or the origin of the sport is?
Correct, correct. I started Aikido in 1969 in the UK, trained for several years there. Then I came to North America and I trained with some of the top Yoshinkan teachers here, and they were trained, of course, in Japan. So as one climbs that ladder of interest and progress in the art, one is drawn to the idea of, well, let's go to where the very home of this art is. And the founder of the Yoshinkan style was Gozo Shioda Sensei, and so it made sense for me to go to Japan and train there.
And tell us about your experience there, about the lifestyle, and about what you discovered.
In one sense, Japan is a very modern, technology advanced society. In the other sense, when you step into the martial arts, you go back 300 years into a very feudal, more simple society. And it was quite an eye-opening experience to see that. Now, in the West, there is many, many more practitioners of martial arts in the West than there are in Japan, which is very interesting to see. And there are some phenomenal teachers growing in the West. But certainly to go to Japan and study at the font under the founder of this style was a very unique experience. And something that in training with very, very highly skilled practitioners, some of the lessons, you learn the lessons, but you don't actually realize you've learned the lesson until years later when there's what we call a flowering. So you receive these teachings, and it's only later on when you say, ah, now I understand what was happening. Now I understand what he was saying. And so it's a very interesting, one could say, life-transforming experience.
Now, in epidemiological research, we look at Japan as a bit of an enigma because they do have a heavy population, they have pollution, and yet they have some of the lowest rates of vascular disease in the world. In our industry, we equate this to the food that they eat. Would you also concur?
Yes, I would. There's no doubt that there's strong links to cardiovascular disease, prevalence to diet. And there's some interesting studies, Corey, that have come out in both Australia and the U.S. where they've tracked groups of Japanese that emigrated and lived a generation in Australia, and they end up, or North America, they end up with the same cardiovascular index as North Americans. And the change there, of course, is diet, and a wide variety of the diet. And another aspect is diabetes. They get the same incidence of diabetes, which is very interesting to see. And one can get into those studies and start to isolate out what are those components of diet.
Did you develop a taste for sashimi and sushi?
Oh, yes. When I was there, I lived completely Japanese-style house, rolled out the bed each night, lived on the floor, sat around the table, ate completely Japanese cuisine, yes.
Did you find that you got leaner by that experience, say, coming from Canada or England?
Well, yes. There were two things that made me lean. One, I was training all day, 6 days a week, actually, one day off. So I became very lean. My actual weight didn't change much because my muscle ratio changed. There are two aspects of the diet. One is, of course, the type of foods one is eating. But they have carbohydrates and they have fatty foods there as well. But also the portion sizes are much smaller. So I think there are two aspects. One is, in the Japanese diet, it is a very healthy diet. And second, the portion sizes are smaller.
So obviously, the overall impact of food is going to lead to a more efficient utilization, and the food is clean, and so the outcome is a leaner, healthier physique.
Correct. That was my experience, yes. In contrast, you have people like the sumo who take the other extreme. Eating vast amounts of food for calorie packing, if you like, is part of their training. They have three parts of their daily training, and it's quite interesting because I did visit some of the sumo stables, they call them there, stables. They don't call them a gym. It's like a horse stable. There are three parts of their training. One is this massive amount of actual physical exertion in training. The second part is eating, and the third part is sleeping. And it's very interesting to see how they can take someone of a normal physique and beef them up into these very, very heavy, powerful human types.
My first visit to Japan, I was honored to visit a sumo wrestling event. Now, I didn't know this, but at that time, they had just opened this up to Westerners because it was a very private sport, open only to the Japanese, wasn't it, one time?
Yes, yes.
Okay, now, Fred, you are involved with my education program, the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor. We're involved in the editing and review of one of the chapters, and I just wanted to get your thoughts, perhaps, that you could share on the program itself and just generally the importance of education in this area.
Very good. What I've come to realize is first of all, this is an excellent program. I've not seen one as good as this in terms of the range of its information and also the moral and ethical basis of the material being presented. Corey, to be honest, the true belief and optimism that you bring to this program, it's a sincere effort on your part. That said, it's been great to see the increase in number of sponsors, the increased number of participants, and this really draws to the fact that sports nutrition, as you're presenting, is on the cutting edge of information-based decisions regarding lifestyle and fitness. And if I go back to something we talked about earlier, which is what are the future trends that we see in the industry, is that health and nutrition is going to be a key ingredient of extended age. By extended age, I don't mean necessarily people living longer, but living better longer. And certainly, the kind of information that you're presenting in your program and the training you're presenting to really frontline people that are going to have to deal with the questions in the shops, deal with the questions from the retailers, it's just an excellent, excellent program, and I'm just delighted to be a part of it.
How important is nutrition and fitness for those of us in our age group? I mean, the science is there. It's right in front of us. We don't see everybody going to the gym. There is some concern about what people are eating today. How do people make these changes and get involved so that they can have this more positive outcome that you're talking about, Fred?
Well, it's interesting, Corey. And, as I go around the town here and as I catch the ferry, I see people in our age range, and I'm 52 now, and I see that, in a sense, some of them have given up. And I wonder why. And then I gently talk to some of the people. Some of it is, there's 7 days a week, there's 24 hours in a day, they're busy with work, they're busy with family, and they run out of energy. They run out of interest. And I don't mean everyone, but a certain percentage of the population. So what we need is a balance in their approach to life such that they can use nutrition information to control what they're eating, blended with an amount of exercise that they're able to sustain in these very busy times of the 40s and 50s, when for the salary earners, the parents who are having to work, it's very demanding. And the more information they have to make good decisions, the better off they'll be. At the same time, they have to make a commitment to themselves to say, I will not overeat at this meal. It can be on a meal-by-meal basis. Or when I come back from my evening workout, I will not sit down, because we get this great hunger after working out, often in the evening, and you may be feeling rejuvenated, and you start watching a bit of late TV. Next thing you know, you're drinking a beer and eating potato chips. Well, there are much better decisions to make than that. And where it becomes, I think, of great importance is that in our 40s and 50s, we're really leaving behind that power of youth. that youthful energy that has powered us, you know, through our 20s and 30s when we seemed like we could eat all day, run all day. And the 40s and 50s themselves is when we kind of run into the frailty of our bodies, the element that our body is going to start to run down. Now, for our side here, we turn it around and say, the 40s and 50s, this is the time to set us up for our 60s and 90s and onwards, we hope. And by doing that, by looking at what do we need to do for nutrition, what do we need to do for fitness, that will enable us to maintain our youthful approach to life into our 60s, 70s, and 80s. That's what I believe. Now, there's many, many choices out there for the average consumer. And the average consumer does have money in their pocket. So it's not a case of the absence of financial ability. It's often the absence of correct information. And this is where I think this kind of program that you've put forward, Corey, can be integrated into someone's daily life, where it's a bit of information about what not to eat at the right wrong times, the right things to eat, how to moderate your life, and then to inspire, this is the second part really, to inspire people to actually take those steps. This is something that is going to give people in their 50s and 60s and 70s a much better body, a much better level of energy, and just a more enjoyable life.
Very well said, Fred. That's quite excellent. So what you're saying for these people out there is to maybe redefine their priorities, maybe pull from the cranium some of that gray matter instead of relying on the physicality of the youth. Start thinking smarter, start thinking rationally and logically. Now, like for example, Trace and I have talked about taking up martial arts. And if we were to move into a keto, where would we start? How does a person who's never taken up the sport start? What is the approach?
Well, okay, first of all, in taking up martial arts, one might want to look at a variety of them to see which one resonates most. I'm biased towards Aikido, and we have an Aikido website called islandaikido.com, which puts forward, you know, what Aikido can do for people. It will help with body sculpting. It will help with joint mobility. It will help with muscle tone. It will help with a positive outlook on life. How to get started, which was your original question, is to look around at the dojos or the training facilities that may be available. Go to visit a few, watch a class, maybe take a free class. Usually they'll offer a free class. And then get a sense of what is this instructor about. And certainly what we've been able to do in the program we've launched here in Victoria, we have a dojo that has people aged from 55 down to 16. And half of the participants are women, half of them are men. And one of the signs of a good dojo is that there's balance there. Usually if the dojo is a bit aggressive or there's a lot of competition between the practitioners, then the women find it an environment that is uncomfortable for them. So one sign of a good dojo would be that the dojo has female students. When you actually step into the dojo and you try a class, you should feel safe. You should feel excited and that there's something very interesting going on here. But any time one of the seniors is working with you or one of the instructors is working with you, you should feel that there's a level of safety such that you're not going to be injured. Because one of the last things you want in your 50s is to take an injury that puts you out, puts you off your fitness program and your health program because you're no longer able to get full range of movements from your body, whether it's your arms that are hurt, your leg or your back. One of the beautiful things about Aikido is that we do this rolling. When we receive an attack and we blend with the attack, we have two outcomes. One would be a pin, where we take the person to the ground and pin them and hold them briefly, or we throw them. When we throw a person, they need to be able to do a breakfall. And 50% of the training in Aikido is how to receive a throw, how to receive a pin. And this does two things. First of all, it gives you a range of physical skills that let you receive these things safely. You move with good timing, you move with good flow, you don't bang parts of your body to the ground. And secondly, you experience what it's like to be thrown. You experience what it's like to be pinned. So therefore, when you turn around and it's your turn to be the person throwing or the person pinning, you've got a sense of what's going on inside that feeling.
Now, martial arts can be effectively combined with weight training. We've got people out there that are personal trainers, and they're, or else they are working out themselves, or they're competitive athletes. So this is something that can supplement their weight training, or you can also, if you get into the martial art exclusively, you can also supplement it with weight training on the side, can't you?
Exactly, and it depends. Some arts, particularly like judo and grappling, a lot of these people, they take supplements and they weight train to give them this extra strength. One of the things with weight training to watch out for, though, Corey, as you know, is to keep your flexibility and suppleness in place. Because people who just do pure weight training, their tendons get very tight, and then in certain martial arts where we use pins or locks into the joint, then these can be quite painful on the person. And the jiu-jitsu arts, where we do wrist locks and things like that, that would be Aiki jiu-jitsu, Aikido, then people who weight train without due care to keep themselves flexible find that it's a detriment.
And so one of the great benefits of the martial arts is that there is a big focus on flexibility and stretching.
Flexibility and stretching is very big. And the other thing is that with pure weight training, like most boxers know this, boxers will do weight training and the heavy bag, but they must balance that with their work on the speed bag. Because very big muscle bulk gives you great strength, but it may not enhance your speed.
So a balance comes to mind there.
That's right. You need a balance between your work towards speed and strength.
And getting back to a very important word that you mentioned was integration. So an integrated approach, a periodized approach, a balanced approach, and the single word that stands out the most from today's interview is harmony.
Harmony. And I'll say one more thing here, Corey, because there are many people out there who did martial arts as a youth or into their 20s and in their 30s, and then they have the family have grown up, they get into their late 40s and their 50s, and they want to go back and find that martial art. And sometimes they go back, and it might be karate or boxing. It can even events like hockey, and they find that their body just can't take that pounding that it used to take in their youth. The recovery isn't there. And also, they don't want to compete against youthful people, so they have to find a different way of going about their balance for fitness and health in their 50s. And certainly from my side, Aikido has been something that I've turned to. But there are many other alternatives out there, and we're only limited by our own imagination and our willingness to go and try new things.
And Aikido is something that pretty much you can do until the end of your life.
Correct. Correct, yes. We can take Aikido with us to the grave, as some people say.
And speaking of end, our time is gone, Fred.
Thank you, Corey.
Was an absolutely outstanding, informative interview, and really it's our pleasure to have you as our guest. Now, for those of our listeners who would like to get more information about you and Contact Canada, can you give us a phone number and possibly a website?
Yes, our 800 line, if people would like to get a copy of the Natural Health Products Guide, it's 1-888-502-6666, and they can also go to www.contactcanada.com. For people who are interested in the Aikido, we actually have dojos, training schools across Canada. The one I'm working with locally here can be looked at on the website www.islandaikido.com, or they can call us at the home number here, 250-708-0702.
Very good, Fred, and thanks once again for your time and a very informative discussion. And in our tradition at SNU, we always like to have our special guest impart maybe a special word or two, words of wisdom to help us to stay inspired and motivated. Can you share a word or two with us?
Sure. What I found helped myself, and I was in a situation of gaining weight a little while ago, and I got to 220 pounds, and I want to carry about 185. And what I found was small incremental decisions every day on a consistent basis let me get down to where I wanted to be. And it was both a case of moderating my nutrition and gently increasing my exercise. And it took me about a year to get where I wanted to be, and I'm about 190 now, and I'm able to hold that. So I think what we need to encourage people that may be feeling some dismay is, each day, a small decision on the positive side of where you're trying to get will certainly help you.
Very good, Fred, and thanks very much for being our guest, and we'll look forward to seeing you again sometime.
Thank you, Corey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services, located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit CoreyHolly.com. This is Doug Austin, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live on, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.